Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast guy, the man who invented the format. He joins us. So the Jets are now the greatest team in NFL history, correct?
Yep. Your favorite quarterback, I don't know. People know that. I know that you quit Aaron Rodgers, but are people aware that you quit the Jets for Aaron Rodgers several years ago, and now in what can only be described as, a fate or something larger than fate, maybe. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets reunited. It's wild to me how. Do you have a specific question you want to ask about the trade package? Because I was going to offer an opinion, but
Just go. You're on a roll.
I thought personally, the deal is great for the Packers. I can't believe what they got. You're talking about you get a second round pick this year. I believe it's number 43 overall. It was reported 42. Either way, either 42 or 43. That's a really good pick, particularly in this draft where there's not a ton of top end talent. There's a bunch of meat, like middle class meat, if you will, which is probably a phrase I should abandon using. But there's a bunch of good players in that 15 to 60 range who you're going to get a good player there if you're Green Bay. Wouldn't be surprised at all if they took a wide receiver there. Of course, they may just take a wide receiver or a tight end at 13, which they got from the Jets, and they swapped 13 and 15. That in particular feels like a point of pride if I'm the Jets. I'm like, no, I'm just not doing that swap. But then the biggest kicker to me, Adam, is that the Jets gave up a conditional second round pick in 2024, and not one like the Brett Favre pick that was a fourth that became a third if they made the playoffs, a second if they made the championship game, and a first if they made the Super Bowl, I believe. This instead is a second round pick guaranteed to the Packers next year in 2024 that becomes a first if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps or more for the Jets in 2023. Just for context, I believe only twice in his career as the starter has Rodgers failed to play 65% of the snaps. And really the only way you'd see I think the Colts kind of tried to do this with Carson Wentz. Oh, no, not with Carson Wentz, with Matt Ryan, where it's like, basically, we're going to shut Rodgers down and make sure he doesn't get the 65% of the snaps, is if they start like 1-5, and they're just absolutely terrible. And at that point, everybody's getting fired anyway. So, this is very much a boom or bust proposition for the Jets and a really, really good haul for the Packers, who, quite frankly, I thought we'd be looking at a big time conditional pick. Followed by a situation in which they, they get some kind of, like a second round pick from the Jets. Excuse me.
So first of all, I thought it would be 2 seconds, and ultimately it's a second and a first because it will be a first. I do wonder if the Jets in conversations with Rodgers have felt like they've gotten more assurance that this is not going to be a 1-year deal.
I would think so. Yes, that would be pretty foolish if not.
Right. So if they get some assurance that from Rodgers, not that that would matter really, because he could do whatever he wants and that's fine. If they could get some assurance that it would be 2 years, then okay, that you could stomach that a little bit better. But it really comes down to, if the Jets become as good as the Jets think they're going to be, then that first round pick next year is still very late. The Jets hope that pick is in the 30s next year, and that's the way they're approaching it, is my guess.
Let's say high 20s.
High 20s. Anything over 27, right? Clarify.
I think you made the case to the Jets. Yeah, anything over 27 next year, if that 2024 pick is over 27 or higher, even 26 or higher, even 24 or higher, you could make the case. That means they made the playoffs, man. The Jets haven't made the playoffs forever. They are desperate to make the playoffs. This makes the Jets relevant for a single season. And I think one of the things that's sort of underrated here, too, is the fact that, Woody Johnson, according to reports and sort of some buzz around the league, is not a huge Robert Saleh fan and maybe not a huge Joe Douglas fan. Remember, these guys were hired while Woody was off.
That's right.
Being the Irish ambassador for one Donald Trump, whatever the...
That's right.
Donald J. Trump. Yeah, he's not a...
Yes, there's a J there.
Yeah. He was being a tremendous ambassador.
I'll tell you what.
Anyway, the point being is that Woody was off cavorting around Europe doing ambassador stuff, and Christopher Johnson, his brother, was running the team. And when Woody came back, Joe Douglas had hired Robert Saleh. They're part of this rebuild. Woody is egotistical and stupid enough to want to have his own stamp on the Jets when they win. And when he gets back and suddenly he's trying to get involved, of course he clashes with Saleh and Douglas. And of course you end up with this situation where, you know, maybe these guys are on the hot seat, even though they're clearly doing a good job of slowly rebuilding the Jets, outside of the Zach Wilson debacle. So in that sense, you know, you kind of really didn't have a whole lot of choice if you're the Jets. You had to make sure this Aaron Rodgers thing happened, because if not, you're trotting out Zach Wilson as your starter going to training camp, and everybody's getting fired that way.
There is no question about that. So, look, I know there like people like Dan Orlovsky have gone overboard. They have already put the Jets in the class of the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Bills, and I laugh at that. Maybe it's because for like 51 years of my life, I was a Jets fan, right? I went to home games at Shea Stadium, and then at the Meadowlands. I never went to a home game at MetLife because I'd already moved away, and the Jets weren't worth driving home or flying home to go to a football game. But 5 years ago, I divorced myself of the Jets because they're not worth the time. People should have that attitude about their favorite teams. If your favorite teams continue to disappoint you, get rid of them. Find another
market you're preaching this to.
I understand.
Hey, look. Very interesting. It's a demographic that is listening to us talk about this right now.
I want everybody to be happy. And if your favorite team is not making you happy, find another way to be happy.
Speaking to me, Gold. Stop it.
So I chose, because I thought Aaron Rodgers was fun, I chose, hey, I'll just be a fan of a player. I'm kind of fans of athletes anyway, so I'll just be a fan of Aaron Rodgers. And then Rodgers became like what he's become. So I got rid of him too. So
pompous goon, yeah.
Yes, I have no axe to grind with the Jets. I just, they're any other NFL team to me.
See, you need to do what I do. People are like, Branson's a Panthers fan. He's biased.
No.
Really, I'm like, really, I don't care about the Panthers. One, I was a Philip Rivers fan. He retired. Matthew Stafford fan. But all along, like, all I do is whoever I pick to win the Super Bowl for CBSSports.com, that's the team I root for that year. Because if they win, I look smart.
That's so, right.
Like, just do that. Pick a team to win the Super Bowl. Just root for that team every year. It is, as someone who has undergone some fall trauma over the last, 20-something years.
Yes.
Although it's been better lately. Shout out to Dave Dorn and his staff.
Yeah.
I would note that, you know, occasionally it's nice to have a winner. So just, you know.
Mix it up. I mean, I wasn't getting a ton of that during my Jets fandom, so I decided to ditch them, and that's fine.
Or any of that.
There were a couple years, man.
To your point about Orlovsky and stuff, though, I think it is, if people are looking at the markets for the Jets, I think that minus 150 to make the playoffs is kind of interesting. You have three wild card spots. The AFC is loaded, though. The Jets are 7-1 to win the AFC, which is just a terrible, like, that price is horrendous when you have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, you have the Bengals, you know, you have the Jaguars who are on the up and up. You know, you have the Chargers who are going to charge her, but the AFC is so packed that 7-1 is wild to me. I even think 2-1 to win the AFC East is very reminiscent of last offseason when the Chiefs ended up being +160 because everybody was buying in on the Raiders and the Chargers and the Broncos who traded for Russell Wilson, a very similar situation. And now the Bills are +135 to win that division. I think Buffalo is still by far and away the best team in that division.
I 100% agree. I think Buffalo's got flaws.
Every team in the NFL has flaws because the best team is Kansas City, And they had to rely on like three rookies to win the Super Bowl and just happen to have Patrick Mahomes. I mean, everybody's got flaws.
Can I bet the Patriots to finish last in that division? Because that would be an interesting bet. Look, I think the Jets will be I think the Jets will be good. I really do. I don't think the Jets will be they're not going to be at the level of those other teams.
I think they'll be a wild card team. I will, along with everybody else in the free world, will probably pick them to be a wild card team. I think they're definitely the second best team in the AFC East right now with the addition of Aaron Rodgers. And like, for as much fun as we made about Nathaniel Hackett, and man, was it fun to make fun of him last year.
Sure.
That Russell Wilson debacle. As his, you know, like he grew a goatee, I think, at some point, like Greg Williams during Bountygate or after Bountygate, just to try and like shake people off his tail. Like, that's not me, it's somebody else. This is a guy who was calling the plays for Aaron Rodgers, or was the OC for Aaron Rodgers at the very least, when he won back-to-back MVPs. And now, so like, even if you think Hackett's a joke for what he did in Denver, you do have a situation where Rodgers, it's not like Rodgers has to go to a new building and learn an entirely new system. He's going somewhere new. Some of the same weapons are going to be there. You have to anticipate they'll bring in Randall Cobb. They already signed Alan Lazard. You know, you have a system that is going to be in place that he's going to be familiar with. And so he's going to be able to, like, I also think that a lot of times we sort of underrate the rejuvenation of NFL quarterbacks, especially older NFL quarterbacks, when they get to new spots. And Russ is kind of an aberration there, really, because of his struggles, in the sense that he showed up and he like had his own, like he basically was like running the Broncos last year. Whereas you see like Phillip Rivers goes to the Colts and just sort of, you know, and you just get these new surroundings. You get a little, inspired. Change in life can inspire you sometimes. And then add on the fact that Aaron Rodgers is one of the most spiteful mofos on the planet. And he's gonna want to do really well with the Jets.
Yes.
And shove it in the Packers' face.
So a little bit. I'm not a believer in history that tells a story about what's going forward. But going back, the last Green Bay Packer quarterback who went to the Jets after his career ended in Green Bay. Right. Very, very similar. But until Brett Favre got hurt, like in week 11. Mm-hmm. The Jets were legitimately good, and he was good. He was very good that year.
He got hurt, and they fell off a cliff very quickly. Yep. But yes, you're right. I mean, I don't know why I distinctly. I mean, this is just such a big deal when he got traded. But I mean, I distinctly remember Favre playing well early on. I want to say they started like 6-3
They were 8-3, I believe. I think they were eight and three, and then missed the playoffs. I think they finished 9-7 that year. He hurt his shoulder, and he was not the same player the rest of the way. So if Rodgers can stay healthy, the Jets will be good because, I mean, if you have a good quarterback, you can't help but be good unless they get decimated by other injuries. One quick thing, we have to say goodbye, but I want to ask you real quick. Sure. Does this kind of escalate the urgency to get Quinnen Williams signed?
I think that yes. I think for the Jets and the front office and the coaching staff, as I mentioned with the ownership situation, with you're shoving all in, you're putting all your chips in the middle of the table with Aaron Rodgers.
There's 2 years.
Urgency. Yeah, even if it's 2 years. But you're going to get, if you don't make the playoffs next year, you're probably getting fired and somebody else is coaching Aaron Rodgers because it would be a very attractive job. Point being is, yes, I would think that the front office and coaching staff would be willing to, and this goes back, for years where Bill Belichick won because all the other AFC East teams were desperate to like too aggressive at the wrong times. You're going to see the front office and the coaching staff for the Jets. I mean, look, they went and signed Alan freaking Lazard. They hired Nathaniel Hackett. They're making moves designed to lure Aaron Rodgers there, to entice Aaron Rodgers. And so you're going to want to be hyper-aggressive in the moves you make surrounding Rodgers. For instance, that number 15 pick, it would be stunning, I think, if it wasn't something to compliment Aaron Rodgers. Look for that Broderick, the lineman out of Georgia. It's a guy that
it's going to be an offensive lineman. There's no question.
Going to the Jets at 15.